Good morning. Thank you for that singing and those song selections this morning. It was a real joy to my heart. We are glad to be here with you this morning. Thank you for those thoughts, Aiden, as well. It's amazing when you consider what God did for the multitude of people he was leading out of Egypt there. And when you look at the statistics of what it took to provide and to care for them, just daily, why it's staggering. It's just a testimony of God's greatness, and should help faith well up in our hearts that we can trust him with our cares. This morning I would like to go on in Ecclesiastes and read verse 2 and try to make some, draw some thoughts and comments from it. So, but before we do that, let's bow for a word of prayer. Yes, gracious, almighty, loving God, we know and trust in you, in your great mercy, in your love, in your provision that you've made. Lord, we know that our thoughts can't comprehend you and your greatness. You so far exceed even our thoughts and imaginations, Lord. We bow before you, and we just desire to look at your word this morning. We pray that you would bring it alive, that you would make it a living word today, Father, through your Spirit. Would you help us as we look at it? Bless the rest of the service. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So I think we'll start by reading it. It is a longer chapter. So Ecclesiastes 2. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of myrrh, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maid servants, and had servants born in mine house. Also I had great possession of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings, and of the providences. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men, as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great, and increased more than all they that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not mine heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. When I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. I might stop there for a minute. There seems, as I pondered this, I think this was, Solomon wrote this in later years in his life, and as he reflected back on what all he had accomplished and what all he did, I think the sum of what of it was that it was vanity, and what it didn't bring any lasting joy to his heart. In I looked some at the cities that he built, and they're just the magnitude of his kingdom in that time was just, it was just humongous. In the cities, the many cities that he built, in, but I think later in his life, he had, why, as he reflected back, I think he sums it up there in verse 11. There was no, he didn't, yeah, there, it was all vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. And I will continue reading here in 12. And I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can man, what can the man do that cometh after the king? I even that which hath been already done. Then I saw that the kingdom excelleth folly as far as light. Sorry, I read that wrong. Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly as far as light excelleth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness. And I myself perceived also that one event happeneth to them all. Then I said in mine heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happeneth even to me. Why was I then more wise? Then I said in mine heart, that this also is vanity. For there is no remembrance of the wise more than of the fool forever. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And how dieth the wise man as the fool? Therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool? Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have shown myself wise under the sun. This also is vanity. Therefore I went about to cause my heart to despair of all the labor which I took under the sun. For there is a man whose labor is in wisdom and in knowledge and in equity. Yet to a man that hath not labored therein, shall he leave it for his portion? This also is vanity and a great evil. For what hath man of all his labor and the vexation of his heart wherein he hath labored under the sun? For all his days are sorrows and his travail grief. Yea, his heart taketh not rest in the night. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before the Lord. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. We see here in 13 that the wisdom excelleth folly. We see that as light excelleth darkness. There, light and darkness are polar opposites. So is wisdom and folly. Wisdom is exactly the opposite of folly. Solomon stands out in his intellectual endowments. He wrote a lot of songs and parables. He had great knowledge of all natural history. He also had great understanding. He spoke of trees and the cedars of Lebanon, and the beasts of the air, and of the fowls, and the creeping things, and of the fishes. I had to think he was like the Google of the time back then. When people wanted to know something, they went to Solomon. In 1 Kings 4:29 and 34, and God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is of the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the men of the east, and the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all the men, than the Ethan, the Ezraite, and Heman, and Chakol, and Dardu, and the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. And he spake of the trees of the cedars, and he spake of trees from the cedars of that in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts, and of fowl, of creeping thing, and of fishes. And there came of all the people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. He also had a knowledge of God. The queen of Sheba came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. It tells us in 1 Kings 10. And when she had heard of the fame of Solomon, she came. But what was the fame she heard? It was concerning the name of the Lord. That had never stood out to me before, but in 1 Kings 10, 1-3, and when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to him to provide, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spice and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart, and Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. With that, I think I'd like to contrast the some of the things he says in there with another with Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in which he, like Solomon, came from the pure Hebrew stock, and in religious matters he held a foremost place, for he wrote, he prophesied in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. In Galatians 1:14, in him, again, we find a man of outstanding intellect and zeal. In our consideration, we must, of course, remember the great difference that existed between the times in which they lived. Solomon walked in the light of God as he had been made known in the law system ministered through Moses, and the Apostle Paul was brought up in the light of God revealed in Christ. Solomon possessed and enjoyed all the good things of life in superabundant measure. We could see what we just read it there, and what he did and what he built. But we don't read that Paul enjoyed any of them much. In Philippians 3, 7 and 8, Paul said, "But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." I have suffered the loss of all things. If we would know what gains as regarded this world, in 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, "Are they the ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which come upon me daily, the cares of the church." Yes, as we look at Solomon's life there and the life he lived in, he didn't have pleasure in them. He didn't find the fulfillment he wanted, especially in this chapter that we read. But when we look at Paul's life in, I was wanting to compare it in his life. He didn't have what Solomon had, but he did have peace. He did have joy in serving the Lord. Solomon, the verses we just read would indicate that Solomon lived a pleasure-filled life, and sought after. He pursued everything that came within his reach. And what was the principle on which Paul lived? We find it in Philippians 3:13. This one thing I do. And what was the one thing? The things behind him, the things he had lost, he forgot as he reached forth to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Here in Ecclesiastes, we see the what I did, what I made, what I planted in just in contrast, again, at this point in Solomon's life, it was more about me, myself, and I. And I made me, I builded me, I planted, I got, I gathered. So I was great. His life was one of self-gratification. He set his mind to know madness and folly, as it says there. If there is pleasure in anything, he turned to wine. He married many wives. He gathered riches. It would allude to that he tried to drink deeply from every sparkling cup of imaginable pleasure, with the result that it was too was vanity. In Philippians, Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Solomon prospered in all that he did beyond comprehension, and his fame was throughout all the earth. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not mine heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. In his immense worldly success, he found temporal joy. But Paul wrote in his epistle to the saints at Philippi that he was a prisoner in Rome, yet he was filled with joy. Here are some of his words. I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. And I say rejoice. His surroundings were anything but pleasing. His rejoicing was altogether in the Lord. Solomon wrote of his rejoicing, he used the past tense, not my heart rejoices, but my heart rejoiced. And in the very next verse, we find him saying, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. And what of Paul? We turn once again to Philippians epistle and find his writing. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I have all and abound. So while Solomon had much, Paul, who had lost everything, he counted everything lost, but yet found his sufficiency in God, was full according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to challenge myself and all of us None of us have the immense wealth and boundless opportunities of Solomon, but we live in an age filled with alluring temptations and attractions and opportunities. We have to remember that all these things in the end are but vanity and vexation of spirit. We have many spiritual privileges and blessings, but because of this, we have to beware lest we become inflated and imagine we are rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing of a spiritual sort. Let us examine our lives and see if we align closer to that of Solomon or closer to that of the Apostle Paul, engrossed with the passing possessions and pleasures of time that end in vanity, or abiding in the realities of eternal life through faith in the power of the Spirit of God. Share that as a challenge to me in first of all to me, and so yeah, thank you for letting me share. I think that's all I have. I have in closing, what is godliness? I would like to say that godliness is very much connected with God consciousness. A godly man is a man whose soul God impressed. He acts, he lives, he thinks in relation to God. The fear of God is upon his life. If God is to control, and if my life is to be lived under his eye, our lives are lived in such a way as to bring glory to his name. Now godliness, this God consciousness as living as under the eye of God, is having God as the trust and glory of our hearts. And with the contentment that flows from it is great gain. Thank you. That's all I have.